Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of May 3rd, 2020. I am reading this on Thursday, May 7th. And as always, I will read the newest articles first and then work my way back through the week. May 7th, COVID-19 update, one new positive in Tom Green County, by Jen Guadarrama. A man in his 30s is the latest person to test positive for COVID-19 in Tom Green County. The man had exposure to a patient who previously tested positive for the coronavirus, the city of San Angelo reported on Thursday, May 7th. All numbers from the Rambler Solar Project have been reported to the health department, the city said in its release. Of the 575 tests done through the Rambler Solar Project, 554 returned negative and 21 positive tests were returned. The Rambler Solar Project opted to test its workforce after an employee tested positive for the coronavirus. Of the 2,388 tests administered in Tom Green County, 95 are pending results, 84 have returned positive, and 2,209 have shown negative for the disease, according to the city's statistics. A total of 58 people have been released from quarantine or self-isolation. The number of positive patients who list their home of residence in Tom Green County sits at 59. San Angelo Italian restaurant permanently closes due to the coronavirus, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo Italian restaurant announced it would not be reopening 2 months after doors closed due to the coronavirus pandemic. Napoli's Italian restaurant, 421 South Chadburn Street, announced it would be closed for good Thursday, according to a Facebook post by the restaurant. Unfortunately, due to the shutdown for COVID-19 for about 8 weeks, we are forced to shut down our restaurant permanently. We thank all of the people of San Angelo for supporting us, and we look forward to seeing you at Lily's Pizza, the post stated. The restaurant originally closed March 18th after many restaurants closed down during the coronavirus pandemic. The post mentions that Lily's Pizza, 2424 Vandeventer Avenue, has been open for curbside service since March 16th and will continue services. San Angelo man convicted in child sex case back in jail after second child reports abuse, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man serving probation for a 2013 sexual assault on a 9-year-old has returned to Tom Green County Jail on another child sex charge, according to online jail records. In 2013, police arrested a 69-year-old man after a child made an outcry of sexual abuse. About 7 years later, another child made an outcry of sexual abuse to family, April 18, 2020. On April 28, the child, now 17, told officers the man had them perform sexual acts 2 to 3 times a week from March 15, 2009 to October 1, 2013. The child was 5 to 7 years old during the assaults, according to the affidavit. On March 1, 2020, the man reportedly admitted he would let the child on his lap to arouse him, according to the affidavit. He told officers he enjoyed the contact and admitted to not trying to stop the child. This would happen at least once a month, the man told police. The child was interviewed in the 2013 investigation, but did not make an outcry at the time, records state. Police arrested Leo Lee Gonzalez, 76, Wednesday on suspicion of continuous sexual abuse of a child. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 11 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. Man previously convicted in 2013 sexual assault on 9-year-old child. In 2013, police arrested Gonzalez after a 9-year-old child made an outcry of sexual abuse. The child stated the man followed them around the house and sexually assaulted them at least twice on April 18, 2013, according to an arrest affidavit. Gonzalez was arrested October 18, 2013. He pleaded guilty to the charge on September 16, 2014, to 391st District Court Judge Tom Gossett, according to online jail records. Gossett sentenced Gonzalez to 10 years deferred adjudication, a type of probation that could have helped him avoid conviction if he followed the law. As part of his guilty plea, Gonzalez registered as a sex offender and is listed on the Texas Public Sex Offender Registry. The registry marked him as low risk, according to the site. San Angelo State Park to allow overnight camping with limits. Here's what you should know. By Elena Edgen. The San Angelo State Park will reopen for overnight camping on May 18th with some limitations, according to a news release from Texas State Parks. State parks across Texas will offer limited overnight camping beginning May 18th, which includes the San Angelo State Park. The park will allow existing camping reservations to continue, but will follow guidelines to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. As overnight campers are welcomed back to their favorite natural spaces, our team will continue maintaining the cleanliness of frequently used facilities such as campsites, cabins, and restrooms to ensure that visitors, volunteers, and staff can continue to enjoy Texas State Parks safely, said Carter Smith, executive director of TPWD. The Texas State Parks will not allow new reservations to be made, according to the release. All visitors will need to pre-purchase and print day use and overnight camping permits prior to arrival, according to the release. There will be no group camping allowed at this time. Groups should be limited to five or less people who share a household. Social distancing will remain in effect, and visitors are recommended to wear face coverings and bring hand sanitizer, according to the release. Rentals and in-person programs are suspended, and all group use facilities, including visitor and nature centers, are closed, according to the release. San Angelo men arrested for burglary, theft cases. SAPD offers protection tips. By Elena Edgen. Two San Angelo men have been arrested in separate cases involving stolen items from a storage unit and a vehicle, according to arrest affidavits. As San Angelo police continue investigating a string of burglaries leading to multiple arrests in the past month, thefts and burglaries have continued. Officers recently arrested two men in separate cases, both involving stolen items, records state. Man with prior convictions charged in theft from vehicle. On April 30th, police watched a video of two men taking a cooler from a parked pickup at a hotel in the 5700 block of Sherwood Way at 3 a.m. on April 29th, records state. The men reached into the pickup bed and took a 95-quart Pelican ice chest. An officer recognized the man from previous encounters. On April 30th, officers spoke with one of the men who identified the second man in the video, according to an arrest affidavit. Police arrested Jesse Clinton Scott, 42, on suspicion of theft of property less than $2,500 with previous convictions. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $10,000 bond as of noon Wednesday, according to online jail records. In 2018, Scott was sentenced to nearly 2 years in jail for the same charges, according to online court records. Officer finds man leaving storage unit with items. On Monday, May 4th, an officer responded to storage units in the 3700 block of Arden Road. When the officer arrived, they noticed a man leaving a storage unit with boxes and items placed outside of the unit's door, records state. The items included four hockey sticks, a sleeping bag, a folding table, and a box of glass fixtures. The unit and its contents had been relinquished to the storage company, records state. The man reportedly told officers he did not have permission to enter the unit or remove property, according to the affidavit. Police arrested Jeremy Russell Uber, 31 Tuesday on suspicion of a burglary of a building. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $7,500 bond as of 10:45 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. Tips on how to prevent theft. San Angelo police offered these steps people should take to keep their property safe and increase the chances of having stolen items returned. Storage units should be checked regularly and locked with a high-security padlock that is difficult to cut or break. People should record the make, model, serial number, and a general description of any valuable property within the unit. People should also lock their vehicles and doors, take the keys, and make sure valuables are not in plain sight. If anything goes missing, make a report to SAPD. The department's non-emergency line is 325-657-4315. Staffing cuts loom for City of San Angelo amid COVID-19 revenue shortfall, by John Tufts. Update. This story was updated with additional information from the city and to clarify the reason for the staffing cuts brought up during Tuesday's meeting. The news of staffing cuts came during a presentation made to city council members Tuesday, in which a spokesperson with an accounting firm said San Angelo is down $45 million in equity, according to a 2019 audit. While an auditor stated that they were confident San Angelo would be able to meet all its financial obligations in 2020 after it landed in the black overall, the $45 million blow to the city's equity, as well as financial shortfalls due to the coronavirus in sales tax dollars, could lead to significant cuts later. At the end of the presentation, San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner said the city might have to make difficult decisions in the future. "We know we're going to have to make some significant cuts, and there are going to be some tough decisions to make, not only in dollars, but in number of employees," Guntner said. City issues statement saying staffing levels tied to revenue and city budget. Officials with the city released a statement Tuesday evening to clarify neither the audit nor the $45 million loss in city equity had any correlation between staffing levels. "Staffing of city employees is related to revenue and the city budget. The budget process determines staffing levels. The purpose of a financial statement audit is to form an opinion as to whether the financial statements are reasonably stated in accordance with U.S. generally accepted accounting principles," according to the statement. Officials said the negative equity of the city is related to non-cash transactions that recognize long-term liabilities for pensions and other post-employment benefits. While the city did end 2019 with $45 million in negative equity, officials said it was an improvement from the prior year by $9 million. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, officials with the city say they've implemented a hiring freeze and that future staffing levels will change through attrition. Officials also said the city of San Angelo planned to cut back expenditures in every department and will continue to look for other cost-saving measures. What did an audit of the city of San Angelo find? On Tuesday, May 5th, Gayla Thornton, a partner with Armstrong, Backus & Company, made a presentation to council members concerning San Angelo's Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, CAFR, and Single Audit Report. Thornton congratulated staff in the city's finance department and noted the city had received awards for excellence in financial reporting from the Government Finance Officers Association. Thornton then gave city council members a quick overview of how the 2019 year turned out for San Angelo's equity. In a word, badly. "From a government-wide perspective, which includes all of the assets, liabilities, and equities of the government, your governmental activities had a net position, or an equity, of negative $45 million," Thornton said. Thornton told city council members the reason had more to do with how local governments are now required to report liabilities. "The reason why this was negative is because the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, now requires that you report all of your pension liabilities in its entirety and your other post-employment benefits, she said. These liabilities are large, Thornton said. These are liabilities you've always had, but in recent years were required to report it. The net pension liability for the city is $88 million. Other post-employment benefit liabilities totaled more than $79 million, according to the audit. Audit shows city increased net profit from 2018 by $27 million. Thornton said while San Angelo's equity dropped by $45 million, the city still had good assets overall. Governmental business activities, which includes the city's water utilities, sewer, and airport, showed a net positive of $248 million, which included an increase of $18 million from the previous year, according to the audit. Your total government-wide net position, which is your governmental activities and your business-type activities, was $202 million positive. So this is very, very good for the city of San Angelo, Thornton said. Thornton said the city showed an overall net profit of $27 million from 2018. The city issued no new debt in 2019 and decreased its long-term debt by almost $19 million. San Angelo's total debt at the end of 2019, which includes both long-term and short-term debt, is $435 million, according to the audit. That's another positive for the city of San Angelo, Thornton said. San Angelo can meet its financial obligations, but issues with staffing loom in future. Guntner asked Thornton if she had concerns about the city being able to meet its long-term debt as a result of losing sales tax dollars from the coronavirus, in addition to a shortfall of $45 million in equity. Thornton said the net increase of $19 million plus a cushion of $27 million, meant the city would be able to cover its financial obligations for the 2020 year. I know you will adjust your budget according to the shortfalls as they happen, and as long as the city takes an active budget adjustment approach, I don't have any concerns, Thornton said. City manager Daniel Valenzuela said adjustments were already being made to the city's budget. We'll make adjustments as we see fit, Valenzuela said. We've already started that. We're already looking at making sure we're cutting back expenditures. What is the CAFR and why does the city do it? The CAFR is an audited report on the year-end financial statements that provides financial information on the city of San Angelo, as well as an opinion by the external auditor on the financial statements as a whole, according to city documents. The report is a required audit of an entity that receives greater than $750,000 in federal funding awards in a fiscal year. The CAFR and single audit presented are for the fiscal year ended September 30th, 2019, city documents state. Financial statement and single audits are required and completed on an annual basis and cover the city's fiscal year beginning October 1st and ending September 30th. San Angelo Mayor explains delay in solar energy info. COVID-19 is still in our community. Brenda Guntner, City of San Angelo. The city and I, as mayor, committed to the citizens of San Angelo that we would be transparent in presenting the facts as it related to the number of COVID-19 cases. We have updated you daily with the number of new cases, the number of positive and negative cases, as well as the released cases and the counties of residency. Last week, a female who is employed by the solar construction firm Signal Energy tested positive at Shannon Medical Center. Through her, we were made aware that the construction company had used a private company and conducted employee testing of their approximate 500 employees. They did not report to our public health officials that they were testing their employees, nor did they report their findings. Duke Energy owns the solar farm, but hired Signal Energy Solar Construction to build the solar farm. It took the city time to track down the appropriate party and get the correct contacts. We sent emails to all of their employees notifying them they needed to tell us where they were and if they had tested positive. Signal should have been more forthcoming with information, and the city should have been more forthcoming with the information. Our delay in announcing who this large company was unacceptable for several reasons. One, people started to speculate who the company was and pointed fingers at some large employers in the city who were not the large employer who did the tests. No company should have been put in this position. My apology to all who had to defend your company and employees. Two, citizens believe the city was holding back vital information that could impact their lives. Citizens believed they had the right to know who this employer was, and they were right. It went against our commitment of total transparency by not providing more facts when we made the announcement. Timeliness of the information is so important. We created a window where we lost the trust of our citizens. 3. The public announcement was delayed due to the city waiting on the company to make the announcement which they said what they would do. They, however, did not do it on the time frame they committed to. 4. On Sunday, we communicated to them that we were going to make the announcement without them. We had waited 2 days. Two too many days. We have now had a weekend with some businesses being allowed to open with restrictions in place. I want to remind everyone that if citizens do not continue to social distance and follow the occupancy guidelines, you will ruin it for everyone. I received many phone calls from people who were very concerned about the lack of social distancing and the number of people congregating. Our cases have continued to grow. More testing is going to be done, so our numbers will continue to grow, so everyone must do their part to help us stop the spread. We as a community can help in stopping the spread, but it will take everyone doing their part. Remember, you do not have to go out. Remember, as a business, you do not have to open. COVID-19 is still in our community. It has not left us. Stay at home unless you need to conduct essential business. Practice social distancing. No congregating. We must be vigilant in our commitment to following the CDC guidelines. This has not changed just because we have loosened the restrictions and allowed more business to operate. This has not changed just because we have allowed more people to enter a building. This has not changed the fact that we are a community that must value and place a strong emphasis on the health and safety of our citizens. We are serious about following the guidelines put out by Governor Greg Abbott and the City of San Angelo. Only people from the same household should be going to the park or boating. There should be no congregating. Social distancing is still very important. We are seeing many new cases classified as community spread, and that means the more we congregate, we will see dramatic increases in positive cases. This is still serious. We do not want to start shutting down due to the increased cases. The other businesses that are closed are counting on the businesses that are open to do the right thing. San Angelo ISD votes on how to decide class valedictorian and GPA amid COVID-19 by John Tufts. Decision will impact graduating classes for years. Correction. This story has been updated to reflect that GPA for graduating seniors in 2020 is calculated prior to the final 9 weeks. School board officials Monday voted to change how class rank will be determined for hundreds of graduating San Angelo seniors. During a special meeting Monday, May 4th, board members with San Angelo Independent School District voted and approved to toss out the final 9 weeks of the 2020 school year in calculating a student's grade point average. High school seniors vying for the coveted honor of graduating valedictorian or salutatorian in 2020 will not be impacted by the change because those rankings were always determined before the final 9 weeks, school officials said. The district's new grading system for the final 9 weeks of the school year, COVID-19 pass or COVID-19 fail has made calculating GPA during that time impossible. Obviously, this year, we're not doing that because of COVID-19, said Shelley Hillerin, SAISD Deputy Superintendent. We are calculating GPA based on the end of the third 9 weeks. San Angelo ISD Superintendent Carl Dethloff noted that the district factored the accomplishments of its students for most of the year into their GPA, but that the situation caused by the coronavirus had forced the district to change its normal criteria for class rank. All of our students' hard work during this pandemic is accounted for from the first day of school until the end of the third 9 weeks, Dethloff said, then reemphasized the point. For GPA purposes, all students' grades count from the first day of school in 2019 all the way through March 6th, the Friday before spring break. All kids' GPA will count in that window of time. Dethloff noted school districts across Texas were making adjustments to their policy of calculating student class ranks in the wake of COVID-19. While the final 9 weeks won't be factored into a student's GPA, Dethloff said participation in the district's virtual classes counted toward completing the class itself. That participation helps a student earn credit for the entire course, where the GPA was frozen March 6th, he said. Then it's a pass or fail, depending on their work. The decision to temporarily adjust how San Angelo ISD factors GPA amid the coronavirus pandemic was based in the spirit of fairness and in being consistent in determining San Angelo students' GPA, according to district documents. School board's vote will impact graduating classes for years. Houlihan noted the board's decision will affect the GPA for all San Angelo students now in their junior, sophomore, and freshman year of high school, as well as eighth grade students taking high school credit coursework. For the classes of 2021 through 2025 in San Angelo, a student's GPA will not include grades from the final 9 weeks of the 2020 spring semester. Officials said this includes students transferring into San Angelo ISD. This is to put everyone on an equal playing field, Houlihan said. The last 9 weeks won't be included in anyone's GPA. Board members were required to pass a resolution to approve the measure, which they did unanimously, 6-0. What prompted the change in determining GPA? In mid-March, district officials shuttered San Angelo ISD buildings to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. On March 25th, students began online coursework on a virtual learning program. Roughly a month later, district officials reported up to 850 children, about 6% of San Angelo ISD students, were still unaccounted for during online classes. After repeated efforts by teachers, principals, and other school staff who reached out to students to get them in a virtual classroom, district officials concluded not all San Angelo ISD students had the same access to devices, an internet connection, and faced different levels of support at home. 3 days after reporting 850 children were unaccounted for, school board officials announced a new grading system to close out the spring semester based on participation with the virtual learning program. Students will either receive a CP, COVID-19 pass, or a CF, COVID-19 fail. The new grading system will be assigned for all courses and content areas, the release stated. Final exams for San Angelo ISD students canceled. While the last day for San Angelo ISD classes is tentatively scheduled for May 29th, high school students won't have to sweat out their final exams. The end of May 18th through the 22nd is the end of when students will be doing coursework, and that last week is for any kind of makeup work students need to do, but no one is having final exams, said Shelley Huddleston, SAISD Executive Director of Teaching and Learning. No one is having final exams because you can't do that on a virtual platform, she said. Unless students have makeup assignments to complete, Huddleston said students will have no coursework due after May 22nd. District officials said Central High School will have 633 graduating seniors and Lakeview High School will have 194 seniors graduate this year. Everyone safe after San Angelo first responders rushed to house fire. Home left scorched, by Elena Edgen and Colin Murphy. First responders rushed to a San Angelo home Tuesday afternoon after calls of visible flames and smells of smoke were reported, according to police scanner traffic. Just before 3:10 p.m. Tuesday, May 5th, scanner traffic reported a call of smoke around East 19th and North Oak Streets. Another report followed from the homeowner in the 1900 block of North Oak Street. The homeowner told dispatch she was outside, but her dogs were still inside. An officer on the scanner said, "Make sure she stays outside." "We didn't have any injuries and everybody got out," said Stacy Wright, SAFD battalion chief. The dogs did get out as well. Four police units, three fire engines, and about 15 firefighters responded to the fire, putting it out by 3:28 p.m. The home had visible scorch marks around the entrance, and the cause of the fire was under investigation. San Angelo Police Chief Frank Carter takes oath of office during virtual council meeting, by John Tufts. Police Chief Frank Carter was officially sworn in to serve a second term Tuesday. During a virtual city council meeting, May 5th, Carter raised his right hand before Justice Alan Gilbert and pledged to faithfully execute the duties of the Office of Chief of Police and would, to the best of his ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States. Carter has served as San Angelo's chief of police since July 2016 when he defeated incumbent Tim Vasquez in a runoff election. He did not face an opponent this election. From another office, San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner congratulated Carter and thanked him for his years of service to the community. "Chief Carter, I look forward to being able to present the actual certificate to you," Guntner said. "Until then, continue to lead the police force as you have done over the past few years." Carter thanked the public in a social media post made later on his Facebook page. "I am very proud to work with the greatest officers and civilian staff in the nation and serve a community so supportive of law enforcement. Thank you," Carter wrote. Police say San Angelo man gave child marijuana, then sexually assaulted her, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been arrested after Child Protective Services received a report of child sexual abuse involving marijuana, according to an arrest affidavit. On April 16th, Child Protective Services intake passed a report of sexual abuse of a 15-year-old child to police. The child told officers a man gave her marijuana and sexually assaulted her on at least two occasions, according to the affidavit. On April 24th, officers met with the man who told officers he gave the child marijuana and sexually assaulted her between September and October 2019, according to the affidavit. Police arrested Alejandro Eliader Valdez Mendoza, 29, on suspicion of two counts of sexual assault of a child and one warrant. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $125,000 bond as of noon Tuesday, according to online jail records. Sexual assault of a child is a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. San Angelo man charged in child sex crimes denied bond reduction in Zoom hearing, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man accused of child sex crimes in 2012, 2018, and 2019, attempted to get the court to lower his $105,000 bond to $35,000 on Tuesday morning, but he was denied during a hearing using Zoom, a video conference app. Dustin Thomas McVinney, 25, sat in a jury panel room at the Tom Green County Courthouse with his attorney, Tommy LaFon, as they used Zoom to meet with court officials for a bond hearing on Tuesday, May 5th. 51st District Judge Carmen Dusek and the bailiff sat in the empty courtroom with a laptop as the Zoom hearing began around 9:30 a.m. LaFon stated that the bond was excessive considering McVinney's lack of criminal history and financial situation. "I think the bonds are overly excessive," LaFon said. "Child pornography is not something he engaged in at large. In the 2018 case, McVinney found out the child's age and blocked them. In the third case, sexual assault, it wasn't reported for 2 years." Over an hour later, Dusek disagreed with LaFon's case and decided the bonds would stay at $105,000. All parties were present in the courthouse, separated due to social distancing concerns amidst the coronavirus pandemic. Details of investigation revealed. Michael Sams, special agent with the Department of Public Safety for 14 years, gave more details of the investigation Tuesday morning that led to charging McVinney with child sex crimes dating back to 2012. A tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, reported by Facebook, found its way to Sams on September 3, 2019. A tip stated a San Angelo man, later identified as McVinney, downloaded child pornography videos and tried to solicit child pornography from a San Angelo teenager, records state. McVinney admitted to receiving and sending intimate images from children between 15 and 16 years old over Facebook Messenger and Whisper for the past 2 years, according to court documents. He also told investigators he had sex with a 16-year-old in 2018 when he was 22. McVinney sent the teenager a friend request on Facebook in October 2018 when he asked her to come to his home and sexually assaulted her a month later, Sam said. McVinney then blocked her on social media, then added her on Facebook again. She said McVinney wanted to hook up again, Sam said. Sexually explicit videos were exchanged at this time. Then she was blocked again, Sam stated. Sams did not find the videos on McVinney's phone, but the information was in the tip. A record search through San Angelo police revealed that McVinney was a suspect in an alleged 2012 child sexual assault, Sam said. At the time of the alleged assault, McVinney was 17 and dating a girl who was 15. The alleged assault was not reported until 2014. "They may have stopped dating," Sam said. "The assault was not with consent. The child said, stop, 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 but it never happened. He stopped when the child said her mother was coming home." A rape kit was not performed in either case, according to Sams. DPS agents arrested McVinney, 25, on October 23, 2019, on suspicion of possession of child pornography, sexual assault, and 2 counts of sexual assault of a child. He was indicted on those charges December 4, 2019. McVinney remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $105,000 bond as of noon Tuesday, May 5th, according to online jail records. The sexual assault charges are second-degree felonies punishable by 2 to 20 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Possession of child pornography is a third-degree felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison and a maximum fine of $10,000. San Angelo area churches announce worship options. Faith briefs may be submitted by emailing news@gosanangelo.com. Briefs are published in print on Saturdays, and the deadline to submit an entry is noon Wednesdays. Christian Fellowship Breakfast. The planned Christian Breakfast Fellowship will not be meeting May 7th due to the coronavirus pandemic. The fellowship hopes to resume meetings in June. Emmanuel Episcopal Church, 3 South Randolph Street. Sunday services will be streamed on the following platforms: Facebook, www.facebook.com/Emmanuel San Angelo. YouTube, youtube.com/Emmanuel San Angelo. First Christian Church, 29 North Oak Street. Sunday service broadcast on KCSA Radio 97.1 FM for drive-in worship service in the parking lot off College Avenue at 11 a.m. Sunday. Attendees are to remain in their cars at all times, listening on radio. Worship leaders will be on an outdoor stage set up for the service. The service will last about 45 minutes. First Christian also plans to live stream via Facebook, and the service will be available through www.kcsaradio.com as well. First Presbyterian Church. First Presbyterian Church, 32 North Irving Street. Phone 325-655-5694. We'll continue with online worship services. You may watch the 10:30 a.m. service via Facebook by visiting facebook.com/FPC San Angelo or through the website fpcsanangelo.org/worship-services/live-streaming. St. Margaret of Scotland Church, 2619 Era Street, phone 325-651-4633. St. Margaret of Scotland Church will have a Mother's Day novena during 9 a.m. Masses from Tuesday, May 19th through Friday, May 29th. The church has decided to postpone the parish festival until Sunday, August 30th, in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Fort Concho cancels 2020 Frontier Day event due to COVID-19 uncertainties, by Rosanna Aguilera. Fort Concho announced Tuesday the annual Frontier Day event that was rescheduled for June 6th will be canceled due to the ongoing uncertainties with public events amid COVID-19. We polled our volunteers and the members of the Lions Club who handle the pancake breakfast, and there were concerns we could not manage and operate this large event safely under current or future state and city guidelines, site manager Bob Bluthart said, according to a news release. Sponsors will be contacted about their support, with the option of a carryover for the 2021 event set for Saturday, April 24th, 2021, the release stated. The regional cavalry competition, canceled earlier this spring, is also scheduled for April 22nd through the 24th of 2021. For more information, contact Fort Concho by calling 325-234-0316. Weekend crowds of over 1,000 leave Christoval Park trashed, by Elena Edgen. Trash littered a Christoval Park Monday morning after people took to the South Concho River over the weekend, according to a Facebook post from the city. On Monday, May 4th, Christoval posted several photos of overflowing trash bins, empty beer boxes, and other litter in Pew Park, which sits on the banks of the South Concho River. The city estimated over 1,000 people visited the park Saturday, resulting in trash and ambulance calls, according to the post. "We've got a problem," the post stated. One San Angelo woman and her roommate planned to go swimming and celebrate her birthday at Pugue Park, but changed their minds after they saw the crowds. She reported large crowds at Nasworthy as well. There were people everywhere, said Kyra Kane, 48, a 13-year resident of San Angelo. Tents and floats and anything else you can think of to take to a day at the river. We drove through and couldn't find a spot to social distance, so we went to Nasworthy, and pretty much the same thing. Kane said what she saw in Cristoval reminded her of something out of a scene from a disaster movie. It was almost like a scene in a sci-fi disaster movie. We had the initial government lockdown, then the all clear, and everyone rushing and crowding the river, Kane said. And the next scene is the aftermath, and the government saying, whoops, and a few others saying, told you. San Angelo Water utility customers get another break on late fees for May 2020. By John Tufts. Late fees for water utility customers will be waived another month after City Council unanimously approved extending San Angelo's declaration of a local disaster Thursday due to the coronavirus outbreak. All late fees for late payments to the water utility shall continue to be waived through May 31st, 2020, according to the April 30th declaration. The decision to give residents a break on their water bills began April 1st, after City Council members voted unanimously to extend San Angelo's declaration of a local disaster, which began March 16th. Officials with the Water Department said in April they wanted to ease the financial impact to residents to the extent they could and thought this was one way to do that. This goes in line with also not disconnecting any customers due to non-payment, so that we ensure all customers have access to water for hygiene purposes, especially for cleaning and to wash their hands, a city official said last month. City won't shut off water to San Angelo residents. In a Facebook video posted March 20th, Mayor Brenda Guntner said the city of San Angelo will not shut off water to homes or businesses during the coronavirus pandemic. It is a difficult time, and we understand that people's personal and business finances are going to be strangled, Guntner said then. We are simply going to keep your water on, but let me remind you that ultimately that bill will become due. Guntner said the city will work with people by offering a payment plan through the water department. We will work with every business and individuals to ensure health and safety of all citizens, Guntner said. Sunset Mall in San Angelo will reopen May 8th. Here are the hours. By John Tufts. San Angelo's shopping mall will reopen next week after it was shuttered for more than a month due to concerns about the coronavirus. Sunset Mall will be open to the public on Friday, May 8th, according to a statement made Friday, May 1st on the mall's website. News of the mall's reopening came 2 days after officials said it would stay closed, despite attempts from Governor Greg Abbott to restart the economy in Texas in phases beginning May 1st. We want to stoke the Texas economy as much as possible, Abbott told KSAT News of San Antonio. However, we must do it safely. Abbott's latest orders supersede any mandates from local authorities to curtail business activity in Texas due to the coronavirus, but noted he wasn't requiring businesses to reopen, nor encouraging Texans to leave their homes if they wish to remain there. Sunset Mall will open with limited hours. Sunset Mall, 4001 Sunset Drive, will have operating hours of 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Monday through Saturday, and from noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday, according to the website. Some common areas, including the food court dining area and the children's play area, will remain closed until further notice. Some store operating hours may vary from the mall. We will provide an updated list as more information becomes available, according to the website. The health and well-being of our employees, retailers, and shoppers is our top priority, said Senior General Manager Sabrina Force. Currently, the following retailers are open: Chick-fil-A drive-thru, curbside or delivery only. Conn's, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., exterior entrance only. For the last couple of weeks, we've read some good articles on the history of San Angelo hospitals. Now we're going to read the third article in that series. First, I'm going to narrate a photograph that appears with the story. It's a picture of a white building with 1970s-era cars parked in front of it. You have a big opening with lots of steps going up to the front doors and lots of windows looking out onto the street. Caption accompanying photograph. Now known as the Butterfield II Building, the Clinic Hospital served San Angelo from 1929 to 1978 at this downtown address. The building's current owners are working to revitalize this section of Beauregard Avenue. Photo credit, Standard Times file. Clinic Hospital paved the way for Community Medical Center and San Angelo Health Foundation by Matthew McDaniel. The prehistory of San Angelo Community Medical Center begins with one of the doctors who helped open the very first hospital in the city limits. According to an article about the Clinic Hospital's origins, published upon his retirement in 1953, Dr. William E. Schulke told the story as he recalled his first days in town. San Angelo looked like a logical location for a medical center, he said, and it was with that idea in mind that I came out here in 1927. As I recall, there were in those days no real clinics in San Angelo, at least as we understand clinics today, as a pooling of talents, resources, and equipment. I came here after finishing my residency in surgery at the Baylor Hospital in Dallas. On arrival, I joined the late Dr. Henry P. Rush, a man of considerable talent in surgery, who in many ways was far in advance of his time. According to information from the archives, Dr. Rush moved to San Angelo from De Leon in 1920 and had his office on the sixth floor of the Central National Bank building. Rush joined Dr. W.F. Chambers to make the first hospital in San Angelo out of the Find Later home at Harris Avenue and Magdalen Street in 1923. That location became the site of San Angelo Hospital. For a few months, we practiced like almost all the other physicians at the San Angelo Hospital, a Baptist institution on the present site of Shannon Hospital, Schulke continued. Later, Dr. D.D. Wall came in from Rankin to join us, and we built the Rush-Schulke-Wall Clinic. Schulke said he and Dr. Rush, both surgeons, welcomed Wall, who was an obstetrician, noting that it was rare for doctors of that era, who were of necessity, called to practice every aspect of medicine. In those days, a physician couldn't confine themselves to special fields the way they do today, Schulke said. In that era, the physician went to his patients more frequently than he does now, and we didn't think much about having to drive way out onto a ranch to deliver a baby, which might be born the night you got there, or maybe a day or so later. Schulke said in that time, the term general surgery covered lots of ground. According to Schulke, the original clinic cost the partners $30,000 in 1929 and opened with 18 beds, 7 nurses on staff, 1 x-ray and laboratory technician, 1 anesthesiist, 1 dietitian, and 3 cooks. Dr. Schulke went on to explain that the partnership was kept flexible, allowing them to add other physicians as the city grew. By 1937, the operation had grown considerably, and there came several big changes in a row. According to Schulke, Dr. Rush sold his interest in the clinic to his partners that year and moved to Corpus Christi. The doctors adopted the name Clinic Hospital as a result, and a new wing was constructed on the lot to their east at 224 West Beauregard Avenue. Dr. Schulke took over as president and chief surgeon at that time. The Standard Times also interviewed Dr. Schulke's wife, Helen, who talked about his career during World War II, when he and other stateside doctors were chronically overworked. Many times I would take his razor and some clean clothes down to him, and we wouldn't see him again for 3 or 4 days, she said. He had worked during the day, deliver babies during the night, and catch naps or showers when the occasion permitted. After the war, the doctors purchased the Parish Apartments just around the corner at 20 South Coingheim Street, originally intending to add 30 rooms for patients. Due to logistical problems, they wound up serving as offices for the doctors until they were sold to Wallace Labs in 1953. Further expansion and acquisition projects followed every few years, and existing buildings were enlarged and more doctors joined the practice. Two residences were purchased in the 200 block of West Harris Avenue and cleared to add parking space. The complex reached its zenith downtown in the late 1960s with 86 beds as the landlocked institution transitioned to a nonprofit corporation, officially chartered as Clinic Hospital Foundation. By 1973, the foundation was eyeing plans for a new hospital complex in southwest San Angelo, proposed as a 125-bed facility on a 23-acre campus at Knickerbocker Road and Sunset Drive. The cost was initially estimated at $5 million. With the support of the Commissioner's Court, the Tom Green County, Texas Hospital Authority was formed in 1975 to issue revenue bonds, and the associated physicians agreed to forego repayment on the notes issued to them in 1969. Ground was broken for the new Angelo Community Hospital in April 1976, and patients were being seen at 3501 Knickerbocker Road by 1978, with the 11 physicians operating as West Texas Medical Associates. Trustees, concerned about the mounting challenges facing independent hospitals, sold Community Hospital to Columbia HCA in March 1995, and proceeds from the sale endowed the San Angelo Health Foundation. The facility was operated as Columbia Medical Center for a couple of years before the name was changed back to Community. Currently, the hospital is a 171-bed facility and includes a Level 2A neonatal intensive care unit, an accredited heart and vascular program, and an orthopedic and total joint center. And as I am really enjoying these articles, and I hope that you are as well, and because time permits this week, I want to describe more photographs that accompany this article. This photograph I'm about to describe next looks like a schematic or a set of plans that you might turn into the U.S. Patent Office. It looks like a clamp, and indeed that's what it is. There are four different angles of the clamp that are drawn on this piece of paper. And the caption accompanying the photograph is, Dr. Henry P. Rush, a founder and chief surgeon of San Angelo Clinic Hospital, received a patent for the bone clamp, seen here in December of 1934. The instrument is designed to aid doctors in setting and straightening broken bones. Photo courtesy U.S. Patent Office. The next photograph is of that same building of the picture that I read for you at the top of this article. This one is taken more at an angle from the right side of the building across the street from this building. There are some older cars. It looks like maybe these are 1950s or early 60s vintage cars, and there's lots of white stuff on the ground and on the cars and on the building. The caption accompanying the photograph, San Angelo Clinic Hospital is seen on a snowy night in 1961 in this Standard Times file photo. The apartments standing in the far left of this image were built in 1910 and recently added to the dangerous buildings list. Again, the photo caption is, the photo credit is the Standard Times file photos. The next photograph is a picture of a newspaper clipping. It is a picture of a mother in a hospital bed, and she is holding a baby. The caption reads, "The first baby born at the clinic hospital in San Angelo returned 19 years later to have her first child, seen in this Standard Times photograph from 1948. Photo credit is Matthew McDaniel and Standard Times files. And our final picture is a photograph of a late middle-aged man. It's a headshot, publicity-type photo, and he's wearing a suit and a tie, and it reads, the description reads, "Dr. William E. Schulke was one of three physicians who founded the clinic hospital in San Angelo and practiced there from 1929 until his retirement in 1953. Again, photo credit, Matthew McDaniel of this clipping, that is credited to the San Angelo Standard Times. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.